Hey guys, welcome to the Rainmakers Power Hour, where hosts, myself, Wendy, and also Maisie, we come every week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and we interview the top business leaders from all around the world. We're streaming live on Chatter V2 and on Twitter. Thank you for all the Twitter followers, and you can watch the replays on the YouTube channel. So definitely give us a follow on YouTube, Rainmakers Power Hour. I'm going to hand this off to Miss Wendy Butler, and also Maisie Nelson will be chiming in with those hot, hot, hot questions. Go ahead, Wendy.
All right. Thank you for that intro credit. I do want to say a very big thank you to our sponsors, Ollie Bigler with Smarter Aircraft, the next generation in private aviation investment, smarteraircraft.com. Thank you. And also to William and Harry, the luxury golf shoes that will take your game to the next level. So thank you to our sponsors. Let's get talking about our guest today. We have Sal Pietro and his beautiful wife, Stephanie, who is also the co-founder of ATM Universal Processes. This is one of the largest, most powerful independent ATM networks in the country, an eight-figure empire built on strategy and relentless execution. Sal is an upcoming nominee for ATM Industry Association Lifetime Achievement Award, the National ATM Council Hall of Fame, trusted go-to expert for the U.S. Secret Service and FBI on ATM financial crimes, the driving force behind major industry efforts on Capitol Hill, where he is fighting to keep cash alive and accessible for millions of Americans. We've got the power couple in the house here today. Welcome, Sal and Stephanie.
Thank you. Maisie, I think you've got competition. I'm going to have you both introduce me from now on. That was great.
Hey, when you've got the credentials, it doesn't take much for the introducers to do their job. I mean, this stuff is powerful. But Sal, you were not always an eight-figure empire building powerhouse couple with this amazing brand and working on Capitol Hill. Tell us about your initial start in the restaurant business, right?
Oh, so you want to go all the way back.
Okay, let's go all the way.
I grew up in the restaurant business. I'm a son of immigrants. Both of my parents were born in Italy, so I was the first one born here. That's probably where I get my work ethic. Both my parents were working in the kitchen and as waiters when I was young. Then they opened up their first restaurant. And, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but my parents, when I was six, where they're from, you have kids to, like, the reason for a kid is to help produce for the family, right? So when I hit six, they're like, you're old enough to, like, kind of hold your own now. So they bought me my first tuxedo, and my parents told me, you're going to run the front of the house. And my dad's like, I'm going to be in the kitchen. Don't bother me. And I was 6 years old. I'm like, I don't understand what to do. And he basically said, you just want to pull the chairs out for all the ladies, put the napkins on their laps, and make sure all the waitresses get the same number of tables. If you do those two things, you got this. And that was my introduction to business. I learned from a very young age how to interact with adults. So it's like a second language to me to try to read people, understand people. Fast forward, when I was 18, I opened up my first restaurant, had a very large bar, was fine dining, white tablecloth. I owned the hottest bar in town and couldn't even drink in it. I was an 18-year-old. That was really exciting. For 5 years, I did that, grew it really big. I had a four-story house on the water with a hot tub. I had a nicer house then than I do now at 22 years old. And I woke up one day and I was like, how do I see the rest of my life going? And I don't think I would be, I'm not sure if it's naive, stupid, or brave enough. I don't know where I was, because you don't know where you are now compared to there in your mindset. But I just woke up and I said, I can see where my life is going. And with this life, the things you see in the restaurant business, your working nights, the things you're exposed to, what people are doing, the idea of having a family and a wife was very important to me. And I realized there's no way I'm going to be able to have a healthy relationship working 7 days a week, working holidays, not being there for all the big things and being exposed to this. I told my parents, I think I'm going to move back down to Miami because I went to college down here. They're like, you're crazy. I sold my house, got out of the business in 90 days, and I came to Miami without a clue of what I was going to do. And, you know, being from where I was like, oh, I have all this money. And then you move to Miami and realize all this money in another state is not a lot of money in Miami. After coming down here, I really think it was God's calling. Within the first 30 days of moving to Florida, I met Stephanie 25 years ago. By dumb luck.
Love that.
By dumb luck, I ended up becoming a realtor. That's an interesting story. I was sitting by the pool. I had nothing to do. I'm in my 20s, sitting by the pool. I lived on a private island off of Aventura called Williams Island. I was a young kid just sitting there, and some lady came to me, and she's like, I see you sitting by the pool every day. You're too young for this. Gave me her card and said, you're going to show up to my office and work for me on Monday. And I was like, no, I'm not. She's like, you're going to sell real estate with me. She's like, I'm going to make you a millionaire. And I was like, well, thanks for the card. But sure enough, Monday, I showed up, you know, because I was curious. I'm like, okay, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be next. Stephanie and I both worked for Roxanne Cosberg. She's still a very big powerhouse in real estate in that Sunny Isle, Aventura area of Miami. We ended up growing our own real estate group where we built it to where we were doing like 30 closings a month. And we were living on the ocean, living the dream. And I was like, okay, I did it in a new industry. And I felt for the first time that it wasn't because my family was doing something. And that's where I think a lot of that underlying thing came from, is like, did I do this or did my parents, did they push me to do this? Could I have done this without their help? And being young and naive, I wanted to prove it to myself, not to anybody else. So I did it, and we were doing so good. And we started drinking that Kool-Aid like everybody else. The real estate market was going crazy. We were buying up as much real estate as we could. Then the crash happened, and we were so heavily leveraged in real estate, and we went from doing 30 closings a month to zero. And I still remember staring at the TV, listening to Mr. Paulson tell us that everything's going to be on hold. There's no mortgages happening until we figure this stuff out. Just staring there going, what does this even mean for us? At that time, we had a customer of mine who was also a friend of mine back from the restaurant business. His family owned pizza shops where my family owned fine dining. And we kind of grew up in places next to each other. In 97, when the ATMs came out, he tried to get me involved. He was making pizza. I was wearing a suit. And I'm like, I don't even know how to touch it. Like, I don't even know how to do a hammer. He's like, you don't need a hammer for an ATM. Like, I don't know how to touch a screwdriver. I don't know anything about computers. Every reason why I couldn't do something, I gave to him, right? Because we impose our own limits on ourselves. Anybody who tells you that you can't do something, you've already told yourself that first. Nobody could tell you you can't do something unless you believe it. Fast forward, I sold a $3.5 million house, which just got listed the other day for just under $9 million. So you can figure out what type of house this was. And he said, Sal, you got to do me a favor. You got to get me this house with no money out of my pocket. All my money's in my business. Yeah, no problem. I was the king of that, right? So we ended up getting this house with nothing out of his pocket. I got the seller to hold the second note, the bank to do the first note. And then he says, Sal, I don't have the money for the closing on me. It's tied up in my business. Can you cover my closing costs? I'll pay you back. So it was like almost $100,000 commission. I'm like, yeah, I'll cover the closing costs. Long story short, he couldn't pay me back. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, with all this stuff that's happening, I need a little more time. Can you run my ATMs in Fort Lauderdale for me? And I was like, I want my money. And he's like, well, that's the best I can do. And I said, you know what? It's better than nothing. All right, I'll run these machines for you. Literally the first day that we did it, I had my aha moment. I can still remember, Stephanie, I came back, and me and Stephanie are staring at the computer, right? Because you get a dashboard that you could see all your ATMs, and we're just staring at them, hitting refresh, refresh. And then all of a sudden, boom, somebody takes out money. Oh, we just made $3. We're like high-fiving. That became like our every Friday, Saturday night. It was like watching a show, right? We're over there watching, and he came back to us and he's like, listen, I'm still having some money trouble. Can you buy it from me instead? Just give me a little bit more money and then you can own it. And it was like, that point, it was a no-brainer. I'm like, absolutely. I didn't take time to grieve the loss of the old business or the old life. I had a responsibility to my family and to myself to replace that income. So I literally, and again, same thing. Everybody's called me crazy. This is in early 2000s. Cash is dead. Nobody needs cash. Why are you getting involved with ATMs? Even my parents, they thought I was crazy. They're like, why are you doing this? You're going to lose everything. You have all this risk. You're going to get shot. You're going to get robbed. Like everything that they could tell you is why you're going to do bad. Nobody needs it. They're everywhere. You name it. I've heard it all. But I literally just, I would rent the box truck and buy 10 ATMs at a time. And I would tell Kiss Stephanie, maybe I'll be back in a couple days. Maybe I'll be back in a month. And I would just drive around that box truck until I was able to physically place all 10. And that's the tenacity that you have to need when you want something so bad, like it's like air. And literally in less than a year, we replaced all of our needs, all of our income that we were used to. And then of course, everybody says, oh, you got lucky, because they only see the success. They don't see the fact that I was humble enough. One minute I'm living on the ocean. The next minute I'm literally sleeping in the back of a U-Haul because I don't want to spend the money on a hotel room. Because I want to make sure that I'm hitting as many businesses as I can over and over again. Because a lot of these people were like, oh yeah, if I say yes, you're going to bring it today. Yeah, if you could bring it today. 2 minutes later, I'm with the hand truck, wheeling it off the back of a U-Haul, and I'm programming it with tech support on the phone and loading it with cash and then on to the next. And that's literally what we did. The one thing that I didn't do, right, that I wish I would have, is once we hit that point where we replaced our income, I took my foot off the gas. I almost felt like I grieved, right? It was like, okay, I never want to get so big and lose that again. So we just stayed at this nice size for like 15 years. I mean, we did amazing, right? But I didn't have that desire anymore to go big. Then COVID happened and I had to shut down one of our branches. And I realized that by not wanting to go big, I put the company at risk because it was the opposite. You need to be so big when things go wrong, you're able to take advantage of those opportunities. But by being small, you become somebody else's opportunity to take advantage of. So I said, never again. And then that's when we said, we struggled through this thing for 15 years, learning all the ways to operate, all the things not to do, all the missteps. Instead of selling right now and doing something else or just relaxing a little bit, let's move and let's help other people. Because we know that if they listen to us, they can do in 2 years what it took us 15 years to do. Because I didn't have a mentor. There were no mentors when we started. We made a decision to transform our company from an ATM operator to an ATM operational support company. Our sole focus now is helping other ATM companies operate their businesses, whether it's processing or cash now, and these things helping other ATM companies operate their business. And that is every transaction or processing or cash now, and these things helping other ATM companies operate their business. And that is every transaction or processing or cash now, and these things helping other ATM companies We said, if we're going to help other people, it's not about the money. It's about, we have to be set up that we need to be able to support them. Most people go through a reseller. If I decide to raise my pricing, every reseller automatically gets their prices changed, whether they like it or not. So it would affect everybody I'm helping if the people behind me decided that they were going to make a change that I had no power over. Step one was becoming that person. Then I systematically went through every single pain point. What's the second pain point? Well, people don't grow because they have to have access to money to put inside of an ATM machine. So the typical model is Wendy would go out, find a location, order a machine from us, and then she would load her own money, go to the bank once a week, once a month, load her money into the machine and watch her screen every day, once a week, and see how that she's making money while she sleeps. Great model, but what happened? happens is now Wendy knows a lot of people. Every time she puts another machine out there, she's got to come up with $10,000 to stick in that machine. So now she has a problem. If she gets 10 locations, she might need 100 grand. Somebody says, hey, I got 5 more locations. Oh, wow, now I need 150 grand. You run out of resources really fast. And then what happens is companies stay small, or they start saying, okay, maybe I can get by with 5,000 by putting it in the machine. So those machines start running empty. You're doing poor service. You're leaving a lot of money on the table. The merchants are unhappy. So what we said was, we have to solve that problem. And so we went
Sal, I'm going to stop you for a minute about solving problems, because we're going to give you a little break, because you've been giving us so much information. I think we're a little overwhelmed here. But I met you in Vegas, and I met your wife, Stephanie, in Vegas.
Thank you for that. My son still won't stop talking about that lunch we had together.
I know. And you were coming out of a show. You're in business with your wife. What is the balance there? Because people are always asking, how do you make this happen? What role do you play that complements what she does? Because I know at that point you were doing back-to-back meetings before I met you. You had to go to a show. You had to meet vendors. Tell us how that looks on a day-to-day basis. Because the business of getting into business is one thing, but working with your significant other for trade shows and all that, we want to know about that.
I mean,
we got personal.
You see, I'm getting a little nervous, right? You know, I told Wendy,
the question's off.
I'll be as honest
as you can be with her sitting right there.
No. I am like, that's one of the things. I'm brutally honest to a fault, which I probably shouldn't be.
No, we love that.
But the truth is, it's not easy. Macy and I talked about it at the party we had at the hangar. It's not easy balancing a relationship with a business where you're both in the business, you both have different roles. I get a lot of the accolades, and it's all because of what she's doing behind the scenes. So like I feel bad because sometimes I feel like she's not getting the credit she deserves. It's tough. She makes sure that I know this is because of us, not because of you, right? And so it is a tough balance. And it's always work. Anybody who tells you that you don't have to work in a relationship, in a business, they're not being honest. It's not easy. Okay, we're going home. Let's turn it off. We're running a company and we have 27 employees. I feel responsible for every one of those families. I can't just turn that off at a certain hour. My mind never turns off. I always feel responsible for their success. Every single one of those people, including me and my wife, have our own personal, professional, and financial goals. My job as the visionary of the company is to make sure that every single person in that company has the opportunity to reach them within our company. Otherwise, I get them to a place where they're looking somewhere else to finish off their career. So if I can't make the company big enough, or the vision big enough, or the mission important enough, I can't keep those people growing in the company. It starts with me and Stephanie. Like you said, it starts with us doing that for each other. And it's not easy. Most days, I'll tell you, I feel like I'm failing. And actually, that's a good thing. If you feel like you're succeeding, then that's when you really are starting to come on the other side of that mountain. You should feel like you're failing because you're trying so hard, or your vision is so big that you can't get to it. If you feel like you're getting to it, it means that your family or your relationship or your business or whatever your goal is, it was too small to begin with. Does that make sense?
It actually makes perfect sense. Macy has a burning question for you. Go ahead, Macy.
Well, I have so many questions for you, but you've dropped so many golden nuggets that I know some of our real entrepreneurs in the room have picked up on. You've put it in a nutshell of what it takes to be successful. One, you had a vision. But also, you've made a comment, right? People look at you and they're going to compare themselves to your highlights. But you've really said, people see my glory, but they don't know my story, which is why I really love this podcast. We get into the story behind it, and that becomes relatable to everyone. You had a vision, but your why was strong enough, right? Why are you doing this? And to the point where when it gets hard, and it does get hard, you know, you're sleeping in a truck. Why are you willing to do that? Your why was hard enough. I mean, you had so many golden nuggets, the leadership that you had to have, the perseverance that you had to have, the tenacity. you did touch on something that you wish you had done differently. I do have a question because I know there's a lot of people hearing you. You have a great business model in the fact that it's residual income business. We all love mailbox money. We all love to make money when we sleep. If I'm listening to this, and I'll be honest, this is a question for me. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, okay, this is a business I might want to look into doing. How would I be able to join alongside of you and have somebody like you mentor or invest in your business model? Can you walk us through how somebody would start that process?
Yeah. There's a couple different ways, right? This has been an evolution. I got to tell you, this has been the most fun and happiest I've been in the business since I made the transition into helping other people. Reignited this fire of a new why. We've made it, right? For all intents and purposes, I'm never going to have to worry about having a roof over my head. I've got a wife that's stuck by me for 25 years. You know, if that's not the definition of making it and you're looking for the bigger, better thing always, then that's... You're looking the wrong direction. You got to look inward instead of outward. But what we've done is we've started to help over 100 different companies right now. We've just relaunched our website to make it more aligned with what you're saying, because people are coming to us constantly. How can we work with you, or what are the things that you do? If you go to like our main website, which is atm-up.com, I think there's a link over there.
Right there.
Yeah. So we've got two programs. One is called ATM Freedom and the other is called ATM Assist. ATM Assist is, let's say Macy wants to go out. Wendy was doing ATM Assist. She was going out, loading her own machines, going to the bank, grabbing money, working one day a week. She's got her own company. We're supporting her by helping her with her processing, service, anything she needs, right? Ancillary products. Helping her maximize how much she's making. We're assisting her, right? That's ATM Assist. And then we have someone, let's say like Macy goes, I travel a lot for work. I don't have time for that. But I know everybody in my town. I could put out 10 ATMs easily, but I want nothing to do with it. So that's ATM Freedom, where it's very similar to like a property manager. If you own the property, we go out there, we deliver the machines, install the machines. It's our cash in the machines. You just have to buy the machines and you just, like you said earlier, mailbox money. You have full access to view everything. You can see everything. Everything is yours, but you're not actually touching or doing anything. That's ATM Freedom. We're about to launch here probably in quarter four. We're launching a new program where we get a lot of people that'll say to us, I love it. I don't want to do any of those things. But I love this business model. I want to be part of it. I want to invest alongside you. We're going to be launching a new opportunity. One of the things that we've been doing is, as we help these companies grow and maximize what they're doing, we're also helping them exit. So if Macy builds up that route and one day she says, hey, I'm ready to sell this thing, she doesn't have to look for a buyer because we know her business. We've supported her. She's done everything that we've told her to do. It's a huge value add to us. So we're able to now buy her company and give her a big exit. And then we're building our own little community through that company. We've already started. We've got $5 million worth of acquisitions lined up for quarter three already. So we're going to just start doing major acquisitions through that company. And we've had people constantly asking us, how do we invest with you on that? Because the returns are crazy. We're looking at anywhere from 10 to 15% after everything. And that's unlevered without putting debt on it. So because we're working with so many banks, we're thinking we're going to get some really favorable lending terms. The cash on cash returns are going to be huge.
What a great program. You've got from startup to service to mergers and acquisitions all wrapped in one company. Pretty amazing.
And that's been the fun part, because all of this is happening because we're helping others. So like I was saying before, we know that there's a pain point for the cash. We've worked out an unlimited credit line right now with a funding bank in order to load machines. So if Macy goes and she's like, hey, I know the governor of Alabama, and we could do the university, all of the stadiums. and we need, let's say, $4 million worth of vault cash going through there a month. That's the easy part. We're just doing some modeling to find out what we need and make sure the returns are where they need to be. Where before, we wouldn't even look at something like that, or someone like Macy wouldn't have access to somebody like us to actually do that deal. So now Macy could do that deal. All she has to be responsible for is the equipment. And the truth is, if Macy got that deal and she said to me, I don't have the money for the equipment, I'll loan you the money for the equipment because we're looking at $1 million deal just because of your connection.
Oh my gosh.
So see what I'm saying? So that's where things start to really get fun. And then now Macy just created something that might be worth $3 million to her because she is the owner. Of that, you know, we're just doing.
So work it out. My favorite word is access. Access to money, access to opportunity, access to mentor, access to event. Access is my favorite word. And we've just met each other again at the jet party that we did with Rainmaker Power Hour, and then Grant Cardone and 10X, and everybody was there. How important is it to get yourself out there to meet the people that you're meant to meet? Because access is really important. Can you highlight that? Because you guys are literally everywhere, at every event, every charity.
Yeah, so the main thing, honestly, I'll give you another moment of an aha moment that happened to me, and you guys will like this. Coming out of COVID, we had just lost one branch. I didn't know what was going to happen because businesses were closed. Our ATMs are located in businesses, primarily hotels. Our biggest account at that time was Universal Studios. They closed it. We're still incurring the expenses to maintain the employees, the fleet, but there's no income coming in. So, you know, it's not even like a wait and see. We're bleeding. And so I started thinking of what am I going to do, right? And there was a 10X book that Stephanie was reading, believe it or not. And I just kind of looked at it, didn't say nothing to her. Then I went online and I looked up who this person was. So you guys will love this. Next thing you know, I'm in his funnels. He just keeps popping up on everything. I'm like, who is this? I just wanted to see who the author of the book was.
We're all in the funnels. We get it.
Yeah. And then there was an event, because we're in the Miami area. There was an event in Miami, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go. But I was so embarrassed because I thought maybe it was a scam, you know, with all these things coming at me. So I even made something up to Stephanie. Didn't even tell her where I was really going. I'm going to some real estate thing. I'm not even sure. Like, I didn't even want to tell her because I was embarrassed, because between the two of us, I'm the guy who buys the timeshare. I can't say no to people. She's very, you know, I want to see
the numbers.
I was afraid to even tell her because she was going to tell me, why would you go to that? And to her point, I was in that room, and then I heard Grant tell his story. And then going back to why a story is so important, his story is he moved from California to here for a new start to do real estate. Every single person he was negotiating with, every single broker he was talking about, I knew them personally for years. And when the market crashed, I pivoted to a new business where somebody like him came into my market, didn't know the people, met my people, and ended up becoming a billionaire. And that was oh my God, I'm thinking way too small. I'm not around the right people. I need to get hooked in with people that are bigger thinkers, that are wanting more. Then I came home and told Stephanie, and she's like, when's the next event? You didn't buy anything. I said, well, I bought everything. By the way, we invested into some of his properties. We're investors now. And she's like, I'm going. And then there was another event right afterwards, and she got even more sold than me. To answer your question, it's everything. You are who you surround yourself with. And my dad, that was like one of his biggest advice to me as a kid, is like, you know, always look at who you're with, and that's who you become, period. Water always finds its own level, right? If you're hanging out with people here, it's inevitable you're getting pulled up there. I can't tell you how many friends that I have that are now in the restaurant business from back then that were waiters and stuff, because they were just hanging around the rim with us. And then when there was an opportunity, hey, there's a new restaurant for sale, I can't do it. Why don't, you know, I think you could do it. And then you're pushing them for an opportunity with some creative terms. And next thing you know, they're bigger than you ever were. So it's important with the group of friends you're with, because the other way goes out. Like, it's Friday, Saturday night, and they're always wanting to go to a bar or pick up women. You end up in an unhealthy relationship. You end up with a bunch of people that are content being below average. And again, if that makes you happy, then you have to find your happiness. But it's not who I am, and it's not who I want to be around.
That's a great answer. I just want to give an opportunity, because we do have a lot of people that have joined us in this room. Wendy, should we start taking some questions? Because we're close to the end. Can you do that? Or you want to highlight something else? I want to make sure people get an opportunity. But we want to thank everyone for coming in. Go ahead, Wendy.
I do want to say thank you to Nelson Apega for creating this app. He is here today. So thank you, Nelson, for joining us in the room and for this app. We love it. Before we open to the audience, I have to ask you this. It's in our description in the room, the future of cash, because you're one of the advocates on Capitol Hill. The world is trying to go to digital currency and away from cash. And a lot of people don't want to give up their cash. My husband does not want to give up his cash. Many people do not. I did want to talk about that before we move on to questions.
Yeah, I mean, do a couple hour room on that. It's a
I would subject, sign up for that with you.
Yeah, it's a stat that I know well. I'll give it to you in less than 2 minutes. Everybody's talking about Bitcoin, right? And I love Bitcoin, but not for a replacement of cash. So there's two things that happen. You have what they call a store of value, right? That would be the equivalent of gold, right? So Bitcoin is replacing something like gold. Is anybody transacting in gold? No, but it's a great store of value. We have over 8,000 ATMs that we have out there now supporting. Every single one of them has the ability to do Bitcoin. So what that means is you could take your mobile wallet, go to an ATM, and convert your Bitcoin to cash and take a withdrawal. Nobody does it because nobody wants to use Bitcoin as a means of exchange for currency. They feel like by using it, they're missing out on the value that it's going to be. So I don't see it replacing currency, at least not yet. People haven't adopted it for trading, like for goods and services, because if I buy something from you in Bitcoin, I'm going to be kicking myself that Bitcoin is going to be worth double tomorrow. So I don't want to actually touch it. But I could borrow against it, right? I see people doing stuff like that because it's a store of value. If I have $1 million of Bitcoin, I can go to some banks that are adopting it and take a loan of like $500,000 against my Bitcoin without having to sell my Bitcoin. So because it's becoming mainstream. So that's where I see it being wonderful. But as far as replacing cash, I just don't see it.
I love it. One thing I do want to point out before we start taking questions, something Stephanie told me you guys are doing is making the most of your tiny piece of real estate. She calls it real estate. The ATM machine is real estate. So you guys have marketing on there. Sometimes the marketing money is even more than what you're making on the ATM charging stations and that kind of thing. So when you're thinking about going into a business with Sal, think about that it's not just ATM fees anymore. You want to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to open it up to questions.
Yeah, what she's talking about, can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
What she's talking about is what we look at when I look at ATMs. I look at two things. One, what we have is merchant relationships. Our model of wanting to do multiple acquisitions is because as we build that network of merchants become extremely valuable for additional goods and services. So that's another topic we can go on hours for, that nobody in our industry thinks like that. And that's what's going to turn our company into a $1 billion company. And then on the media side, because we own, I call it air rights. Air rights come from real estate. So I said, you know what? The space above the ATMs, I'm going to call them air rights. So I started coining, like even in our contracts, we have the air rights to the space above the ATMs. And what we're doing is we're putting digital screens on there that are connected to advertising networks. Advertising goes through there and we get paid for the advertising because there's a huge shift to what they call out-of-home marketing, where people are looking at targeting very, very direct consumers. And you can be picking up from your coordinates who's going there, how many people, what's their economic situation, what's their demographics, everything. And we've been having a lot of fun with that. And then I'm going to give a plug. Can I give a plug to somebody? Am I allowed?
Of course. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give a plug to Wendy and Rhett, So, you know,
well, of course you can give that.
No, because it goes with what we're saying is they just set up this amazing company in the golfing space. They've got the coolest designs, the coolest materials. Everybody I've shown it to goes nuts over the colors, over the exotic materials that they use. This whole thing happened because Rhett and I are putting together a deal to advertise on these screens. Because we have hundreds of hotels with these screens and golf communities and affluent malls, exactly where his customers are. Through those conversations, we ended up falling in love with their company and we became angel investors. We're excited to be partners with them. Please put a link to William and Harriet. Their stuff is amazing. The biggest problem we're going to have is keeping stuff on the shelf.
All of our links are up there.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I had to give that plug because that's the cool thing about even going back to credits, you know, comment is about being in that community. Like I have access to Wendy now, who is a startup, and I absolutely fell in love with what she's doing and believe. And I see Rhett being such a smart businessman. The reason why I say he's smart is because I saw him bring on a CEO that was smarter than him. And that's a good sign of a good business person is they're surrounding themselves immediately with people that have a skill sets beyond theirs, right? So I was like, there's no way this company's not going to be super successful. And that's what you get from being in these rooms and making these connections. You know, when I went into Grant's room, I didn't know anything. I was the first member of his real estate club. And I ended up with people in that room purchased a $19 million property as the general partner. And we just had it reappraised because it's coming up just past 3 years. And we're going to have to either refinance or sell it. And it got appraised in the mid-30s. So that changed our lives, you know, that, but it all because we were in the room with different people that we were networking. I'm taking up too much time. I know we got questions and answers. I'm so sorry.
We love it. I think that you and Stephanie need to have your own community in here. I think I'm hoping that you guys are going to have that in Chatter where we can all go in and get our ATM machines going and make money while we sleep. I want to bring up a fact that you said earlier in the conversation that in 1 year in ATMs, you were back up to where you had left off in the real estate world after years of building that up. I mean, that says a lot. So I think there's a lot of people in the audience and even on the stage here that are interested in talking to you about that. But let's open up the room to questions. Does anybody have a question? McGinna's got her hand up. Let's go to McGinna.
Awesome. Yes. Hi, Sal. So good to see you. Thank you, ladies. Great questions. Yes, I am grateful to the 10X community because that's where I met Sal. And I believe that was a real estate summit that I also met you for the first time. So shout out to Grant and the entire community. I'm grateful to call you both friends. This question is for both of you. What is one lesson you have learned from one another? You are growing stronger as business partners and as a couple. What have you learned from Stephanie and what has she learned from you? Keep it to one lesson that you carry along. And of course, it's visible how successful you are. But I'm curious because I can never learn enough about you guys, even though we're friends.
I'm going to let Stephanie answer that first.
Sorry.
You can't be twice together.
It's my mind. All right.
Yeah, so what's one lesson?
So one lesson you have learned from Stephanie and one lesson Stephanie has learned from you. You are growing together stronger as business partners and as a couple.
I'll try to say without getting emotional, but she has this unbelievable faith and love for me that it transcends everything, right? It makes me feel like I can't fail. So feeling that from her allows me to be the person that I can be in the business. If you don't have that around you, whoever your partner is in life, it makes it very hard to be successful. She's done that for me, and I'm forever grateful to her for giving that to me. And listen, I'm sure it's probably not easy for her. I'm sure most days she probably wants to kill me. Well, I know because she tells me most days she wants to kill me.
One of the things that I love about you two is that you say she is doing so much in the back end that we don't even see. We do see it. I mean, because she constantly, I said, hey, I want you both to be on camera. And she was like, no, I want it to be about him. And you're on the other side saying, I want Stephanie to be in here. She needs to be on here. It's so refreshing to see. I have a similar situation about the synergy and bringing each other up. I love the fact that both of you independently are really working hard to bring each other up. I can imagine when the two of you are together in business meetings, the synergy of it.
But that's the irony of it. When we're in meetings together, we don't do good together. It's very weird because we're both two alphas. We have to stay in our own lanes because when we're trying to do the same thing, that's when we start fighting in business. I wasn't planning on dropping that tidbit, but you just said that. I want to make sure I'm being honest. It's so important that when you work together, you have to know and be okay with what your roles or responsibilities are in that business. That way you're not stepping on each other. Every time we don't do that, we start stepping on each other. And that's when we fight in business. It's not easy. Like you were talking about Grant, how Elena, when she's up there, she's always saying is, you know, looking at the bigger vision, are these fights really worth it? Do they help us get to where we're going? But at the same time, we have to also empathize with each other, right? Hey, I know it's tough for her because a lot of times she's looking like she's in a supporting role. And you know, I don't want that for her, but that's where she shines. She could do things that I can't do that are helping the company, where there's things that I do that she can't do. We have to stay in our lanes. I hope that helps somebody out there.
Does anybody else have any questions out there?
Joseph had a question. Joseph, are you here?
Okay, I am here.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I wanted to ask Sal, what are the top reasons to invest into ATMs in 2025?
See, you got me all caught up in family and growth. And now you hit me with an ATM question. Yeah.
No, we're back to the money.
Yeah, back to the money. The top reason to invest is because it's very, like what I love it, like the way I always put it, everybody loves real estate, right? It has the exact same attributes. And this is why I fell in love with it when I saw it, but there are certain things that I like better. So obviously it's higher returns, but you have this ATM, which is like a house, and you find the perfect piece of land for it, right? And then you put it there. So you get to depreciate the entire machine off year one. So you get these great tax benefits, just like you would in real estate. And now you're making residual income from these customers. But where it outshines real estate in my mind, let's say Wendy put it in the salon that she likes to go to. And the salon said, we're going to do cash tips. But they never did cash tips because some of the girls complained that they didn't want to have to use the ATM to pay cash tips. And they never do it, so it's not doing very well. Well, if it was a piece of real estate and you made a bad investment, you're kind of stuck with that piece of real estate. With the ATM, you can literally pick it up and move it again and again and again. So I've had ATMs that I've moved 5 times until I found the happy home. Now you find that happy home and it's really churning out money, and then you go on to next and the next. One of the biggest things that people say is, well, a lot of places aren't taking cash or there's not a need for cash, which is actually proven to be a good thing because people don't carry cash like they used to 20 years ago. So when you need cash, you need an ATM. Mm-hmm. So anywhere there's a valet or a hotel, casinos, there's always a need for cash on you.
I hope that
answered it, Joe.
Makes sense. Thank you.
I like the machines on wheels. I love that. It's like a tiny home. I don't want to live there. Let me put some wheels on it and move that and get that mobility. I love it.
We actually do have several people that have wheels in the bottom of their ATMs. Like you're in Vegas. Like being like where I'm at in New Jersey, where you have like a lot of restaurants and shops along the boardwalk. they roll them out during the day where all the people are, and then they roll them in at the end of the night. So that way they can get them right in front of their customers and in the traffic.
Well, it's crazy. There's still a lot of restaurants, like ethnic places, like Asians, and the sign says cash only. So there is a market out there. And because we're in Vegas, people always have to have cash around just in case they want to put it on black or red.
I'll give you a good one. We have some of the best nightclubs and strip clubs in the whole world that we have ATMs in. So I'm going to let you know, like, hopefully I don't get in trouble for mention, but like we do Club 11. A lot of people.
Oh, wow, my 11. Gosh.
Now,
making a killing there.
We support them and they run their own machines. They're making 6 figures a month on the ATMs.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Just to give you an idea, there's places out there, 20, 30, 40,000 a month, some of these big strip clubs in ATM surcharge.
Wow. I do see Storm has a question. Of course, you know Storm from our 10X community.
Of course.
Knows him
as Matt.
Okay. Matt. Randy, good to see you guys. And
so good to see
I think they're called gentlemen's clubs. Is that the correct term, Sal?
I don't think you go to them, so yeah, I don't know.
I don't frequent, so that's why I just wanted to check. But
he's only heard about them.
I've only heard about them theoretically, yeah. But, you know, my question to you, Sal, is you've obviously built an empire with Stephanie. And if you were to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
That's easy. I would have made the decision to branch out and help other people a lot sooner. I would have found that the communities we're in a lot quicker. But, you know, I wouldn't have known that. Knowing that now, I would have ran to do that, you know, from the beginning.
And look at this community. I mean, look how easy it would be to start a community. I bet if you guys open up an ATM room in this community, it would be flooded with people. I'm already
it's funny you say that. We happen to have one and I could conveniently pin the link in the chat.
King Stephanie, through hearing this, probably just created it. She messaged me. Now we have a room called ATM All Things Money, where we'll talk about all things money.
She's quick like that. But anyway, we have one last question. Chris, you have your hands up. You want to ask your question before we wrap this up?
Hi, everyone. Well, great stuff you guys are doing here, Sal and Stephanie. I personally own an ATM machine in my community. I started watching YouTube 2 years ago. My question is, when I started, the place I put my ATM, it was really, really slow. So I took it out, put it in a tattoo shop now. So it makes about $600 to $700 a month. So I really enjoy that passive income. But the other thing is, I've had people tell me or ask me this, and I've also gone through this myself. Like the banks, some banks, it's so difficult to get sponsorship or open an account with them. What are the easiest ways to go around that with the banks?
Well, that's one of the reasons why in July, I'll be sitting, I have dinners with a couple congressmen, a dinner with a senator for exactly what you just said. And I know we're limited on time, but Chris, DM me, I could help you out. There is an issue with access to bank accounts for businesses. Banks nowadays, they don't want to even do pizza places. Any place that has a lot of cash going in, cash intensive businesses, they don't want to bank them. And that's illegal. And they've got some laws out there that they use, like anti-money laundering, anti-terrorism laws, to tie it under. But we're lobbying to make sure that we get that fixed. We have programs for people having trouble with their banks. I have a bank that will sign a 5-year contract with you to guarantee you that they will not, as long as you're doing everything right, will allow you to run your ATMs for 5 years. It's unheard of. Like, so we have programs, because again, going back to our model, every pain point that someone like you should have, we should have a solution for it to help you. That's where we're doing the hard work. You can be in the business, because to his point, he said $700-$800 a month. I've had single mothers that we've helped out that have called us and said, because of you, they're loading the machines themselves. They get 4 or 5 machines, and it was enough for them to rent a new home in a different zip code. Their kid is going to a different school system that's going to probably change the trajectory of that entire family. So it might, to you might say, oh, what's $700-$800? Listen, he might have a hard time. That might be a car payment for him, where he might not have had a car before. The smaller things go a lot further for people than the big things, because the big things are, you know, that's people having fun, right? Trying to go push themselves. $700-$800, doing things like that. That's the difference between going out for date night and having a healthy relationship, or having to eat in all the time. So there's a lot that goes in there. But yeah, going back to what you said, DM me. I can help you with your banking relationship if you're having problems.
Well, thank you for the questions. Let's wrap it up. But before we do that, let's take a picture of all of us with our eyes open. Ready? Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Can we take one more?
Yes. Stephanie, come on in. Ready?
Yeah, there she is.
Smile. All right, and let's close this room out. Wendy, you want to do last minute closeout, thanking all of our sponsor and our tech team. And if you guys want to use the rocket button to send us a few little drinks, we would love to have a few little drinks.
And I do want to say that Lauren LaPointe, thank you for sending us. And Matt Storm sent a rocket. Those were the two that I know for sure.
Danielle sent something too. Thank you.
Thank you guys for doing that. Another way to monetize besides ATM is on Chatter. You can open up rooms and people will send you money if you're giving value. For those of you listening on X, YouTube, or Spotify, we invite you to come over to Chatter. Watch our program, be a part of our audience, and participate. Be able to ask amazing guests like Sal and Stephanie. Our guests every week are just amazing. I do want to thank our tech team, Rez, Nigelon, and Dan, who streams us over to all of the other different platforms. And we do especially want to thank Ollie Bigler at Smarter Aircraft, smarteraircraft.com, the next generation in private aviation investments, and Brett Butler with William and Harry, the luxury brand Exotic Golf Shoes. Thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate you. And thank you to all of our audience here today. Nelson Apega, thank you for this amazing app that we love and use every week. And be sure to follow all of the co-hosts and the guests for more information on starting your own ATM.
Follow the YouTube channel for Rainmakers Power Hour so you can listen to all the previous episodes that you have missed. So definitely subscribe to that. That would really help us get out there, and also on Apple and Spotify.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram too. Guys, we look forward to seeing your ATM room. We're going to be following that closely. Thank you guys for taking the time to spend with us today. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Everybody join the DTN debate newsroom.
Head over to Debate the News. Jonathan is next. So if you want to get in on the political controversies of the day, that's where you need to go. Have a good day. Bye.